Welcome to Burning Out Hell.
Are you sitting or standing? I can't.
Is it making you nervous?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I want you to be comfortable when you go to hell. Standing doing a podcast is my actual hell.
I am in Florida during a pandemic. Don't tell me what hell is.
Didn't they just open up everything? Why aren't you at the bar?
No, these people are wild. I'm afraid to even leave the house because there's maskless wild animals out here. I have like 7 anxiety attacks when I get in my car before I reverse out of the driveway. I'm like, am I ready to go into the wild, wild west of Florida maskless weirdos?
Okay, more importantly, is your dog okay?
He's great. I'm sure.
Okay, look. I'm going to announce you now.
Oh, great.
Okay, guys. I am with Kate Chastain. We go so far fucking back to the point that I forgot how we met. We met when I was at Betches. Kate rolled in, and she didn't know. Like, obviously, I liked watching her on Below Deck, but I fell in love with her personality on Twitter. And I was like, oh, my God, Kate, like, I tweet, too. And she's like, okay, bitch, everyone has a Twitter. Calm down. I'm like, I love your tweets. And then we followed each other. At the time, I remember you were like, I don't even know how Instagram works. I don't really care. Like, I remember you were having, like, an Instagram issue. But you followed me. And then we've just, like, been best buds ever since.
My Instagram issue, yeah. I mean, I'm not going into TikTok, Hannah. You're not going to make me. I have my boundaries.
Girl.
Do you do TikTok? You
do. I do. I did it during the dark, dark periods of quarantine. I won't make you. I won't make you do TikTok.
That's what I'm asking you.
I feel like you low-key are using reverse psychology and want me to make you do TikTok.
Well, it's full circle, Hannah, because when I first met you, I was having an existential Instagram crisis.
That was 3 or 4 years ago we met. Then, what did we do? I had you on Burning Hell.
Yes, you were so funny at that Betches interview. And like, you know, doing press days, you meet a lot of people and you like answer a lot of questions, but you were so funny. I was like, I like her. So then I followed you and I was like, wow, she is funny. She is
on
Twitter. And Twitter is different. Twitter's difficult.
Like, Twitter is a different monster.
I call it an exchange rate. Like, there's an exchange rate for followers. Like, Twitter, it's hard to get a lot of followers because you can't count on filters. You have to, like, use your words and your wit. And it's like a toilet bowl. It's a toilet bowl of social media. It is.
Yeah, people can't just, like, easily like stuff or easily follow. They have to comprehend your words. They don't just see, like, a pretty face and go like. They have to read it. They have to then relate to it. They have to then explain to their friends why it's funny. It is a deep exchange.
I mean, it's like the current day pen pals. It's beautiful. It's romantic. I think it's more respectful or respectable to have a Twitter following, you know?
I totally agree. Well, people have a Twitter following. You're like, they're either smart or funny, which are 2 great qualities.
Smart, funny, rich, or famous.
True.
All goals.
All goals. But so much has changed since I've seen you. I had you on Burning Hell. You were hilarious because I remember you were like another press day. I think you were drinking wine and we were, of course, and we talked about how you did not have a sense of smell. And like, as a gassy person, I was like, oh my God, I can see myself spending a lot of time with this person. And we just laughed the whole time.
Right? To me, it's just a funny noise. I mean, it serves me well. I don't know about the people that hang out with me. You know, I think it's better, the best for me, but that's fine.
Like, you don't even know what a fart smells like.
Just a funny sound.
I love it. And then you told me that you always date gay guys accidentally, but that they mostly dress as pirates, and that's how you can tell they're going to be gay.
Well, no. I mean, that's definitely a red flag because, listen, ladies, gentlemen, cisgenders, non-cisgenders, everyone, if you're dating a man, and he's like, so I was thinking for my birthday, I'm going to have a pirate party, you know? He might be a little bit gay.
I mean,
it's eyeliner.
Eyeliner.
It's eyeliner, and then it's also kind of like long hair and accessories.
Yes. And jewelry. So did you see Luke on?
It's like the least drag.
Did you see Luke on Summer House dressed as a pirate?
Just saying.
Did you watch it?
No, I've been a little busy in the pandemic.
You're such a cunt.
I'm sorry. Listen, but I stand by my, there's a few like indicators I have for people. I'm not a judgmental person.
Yes, you are.
I'm a sociologist.
Oh, okay. Okay. There's I'm judgmental.
I mean, I will be, I can be, but also it comes down to science. Like,
yes.
The reason you know the difference between a daffodil and a rose is you're like, one's looks like this, one looks like that. So mm-hmm. same with humans.
Mm-hmm.
And if a guy wants to dress like a pirate recreationally, he probably likes dick.
And I know that, so you've gotten involved with gay guys, you've gotten involved with women as well. Do you like a little feminine energy? I
think the women were gay too, by the way, that I got involved with. I have a hunch.
That they were gay?
Yeah.
So you're saying you weren't hooking up with other straight women? Fun.
No, I call them lesbian sharks.
What is a lesbian shark? Please explain.
Okay, so a lesbian shark is a lesbian that likes a straight girl, and they like circle around and they're like, oh,
they love the challenge.
Uh-huh. And it's like, you're Nemo, you've got half a fin. Oh, I'm just, and they're like circling, they're like, just come here, little fishy. And then they go in for the kill, and you're like,
they wait for a little blood to come out during your period when you're a little emotional and insecure.
Go there, but you know, so lesbian sharks are like the real lesbians, and
so you like masculine women and feminine men.
I'm like Miley Cyrus.
You are the Bravo Miley Cyrus.
I love that for me.
The question is, so many Bravo celebrities have had music videos. When are you gonna have? I could see you doing like a funny rap video.
Right, like Nicole Richie style Quibi.
Yes, yes, I can see that for you.
Oh my gosh, let's drop a beat. Let's make a bop.
Remember when we did
now, but like later.
Oh hell yeah! I just want a booty like pop in the background of your video, and I imagine it on a yacht. Oh my god, I can't wait till we can do that. I'm going down to Florida. Yeah, set it up.
I want to hug trees. I want to twerk on trees, Hannah.
You're like, I want ground. I want non-moving land ground.
Land lover.
So after we met, we loved each other. We did a show with Watch Your Crappens. That was so much fun. And I just remember like being on a high with you guys. And afterwards, we just talk shit in the green room as we do. And then I found out that you're done. You are done doing reality TV. You've moved on.
Well, I think I announced that I was done with Below Deck.
You were done with Below Deck.
Yeah.
And were you sad? Were you happy? What was the emotion?
I only did Below Deck because I'd already done yawning for 6 years. Mm-hmm. And when I started Below Deck, it was a pretty new show. Everybody in the yachting industry said, if you do that reality show, your yachting career will be over. And I was like, you promise? Yes. You promise me. Can I get that in writing? So, like, I loved Bravo, so I was like, perfect. It's like mm-hmm. a natural, seamless transition. It only took 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't want to wear a skirt anymore. And I love the part of Below Deck where it was like sitting in a chair and talking shit about my castmates.
Yes. The one-liners.
Yes, you know, I love interview times. So I just like would like to do more of that and less of the manual labor.
And then it seemed like, because you were done with it, but Bravo immediately when they announced it, they were like, but there's other projects in the works. There's other projects in the works. And you basically were told, like, we still want to work with you. So you got this serious show with Andy, Unapologetically Kate, that you did during quarantine, which was a bitch probably because you were not in a studio. First time ever doing it. You had no energy of like.
I had zero energy. To be honest, Hannah. Since the pandemic has hit, my career has been thriving more than ever. Because people are desperate. I don't know. So with that advantage also comes disadvantages because I'm turning into a one-woman production studio.
Mm-hmm.
Mail me equipment. Do you know how hard it is to construct a green screen? Difficult.
Holy fuck.
Very difficult. That project almost didn't happen.
They're like, Kate, if you could run a whole yacht, you can figure out this green screen.
They mailed me a suitcase that could have a human body in it. And like with two laminated pieces of paper. And it was like, sanitize wipes, and I was, they're like, just put it together. I was like, what?
This is your problem. So, you showed that you're good at doing things and that you're like a competent human from your show. My show, no one asked me to do shit. My show, people are like, did you pee? Like, did you have breakfast? Like,
you're so smart, Hannah. You're so smart. And this is what I want to tell all of your listeners. Take advice from Hannah. Always give like C level, not A plus. You know, just keep it average, because then they expect just the bare minimum. And then if you can do like B plus.
And then you do a little B and they forget. That's what I say with blowjobs. Like, I never go full hard A plus in the beginning. People give me that reaction too. I'll like make it feel good, but I'm not going to go for like as long as I can until they come. Like, I'm going to give up before they come.
No.
I'm not going for like 6 minutes or 7 minutes.
Unless
if there's a Venmo involved.
No, I'm just saying, so that's a full job. No, that's a warm up.
Yeah.
Completion is a
gift.
A privilege. Anniversary present.
What's your opinion on like doing wifey duties? Like, how long does it take you in a relationship to start doing wifey duties? Like, you know, picking up his plate after he eats and shit like that.
Never. I mean, I'll probably do it out of habit, but I'm gonna sit on my hands as long as possible. Like,
yeah.
Train them from the beginning, like children and dogs, you know?
Same, 100%.
Good habits.
Oh, I'm like now living with Des and I'm realizing like men really, I don't know what they did before women.
Okay, so that's why I wanna know. Why did you ask me that? How quickly did you move into wifey duties?
Well, this is my thing.
Tell me everything.
I've never done wifey duties. I'm realizing that karma's hitting me because I'm messy. I'm sloppy. I never do shit. I make guys do my laundry. I make guys do everything. That's what I loved, because I've never found a guy with like balance and respect either. Like, he respected me too much or I respected him too much. But now Des and I respect each other the same. Mm-hmm. And I like want to do things for him. And I've never had this happen to me. And he said I could stay at his house for a bit. Bitch, I was buying candles and throw pillows. Second day.
Not throw pillows.
I bought a furry throw pillow because it was really soft. Kate, I don't know what this side is to me. It's like my ovaries are tingling. I've never had this happen to me. And I'm turning into, it's like this new person. And he like is fine with it. But I'm like, I didn't know I had this in me. I cleaned up after him yesterday out of pure like just animalistic, like I don't know who I am.
That's what I'm saying. I don't have to sit on my hands. I ended up doing it, but I would like them to at least try it first for a while. But the fact that
I think he's the first guy that's been marriage material that I've dated. That's why.
100%.
Like, I've never even smelled marriage material. And now that I am becoming a robot of like, I'm becoming domesticated. Like, I can't even look at myself in the mirror.
I know that this show is supposed to be called Burning in Hell, but honey, you in love. You are in love.
I've also gained 10 pounds because we order takeout every night and we're just like, yeah, let's get the burrata. Yeah, like we're just like in love.
Beginning 4 months of a relationship where it's just.
Just get fat and sassy.
Sex and delivery. It's like, you want to have sex again? Yeah.
Yes.
And then you like, it's almost like sports. You're like, okay, ready? That's the first.
We need a carb load. We need a carb load.
See, I didn't play sports, but thank you. I was a cheerleader. I was like, get it. Carb load. Yay. And then you go back for the second quarter. And you're like, halftime. Okay, now we're getting the pizza. And then you go keep going. It's like a very fun marathon.
I do want to say, you have been very supportive of me and Des. You've done your own research, and you've sent me multiple very nice texts about it. And I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm a good friend. You know?
You didn't have to, like, care about it. And you've gone out of your way to be like, hey, like, I'm happy for you.
Here's
and
what I will say.
Makes me smile. Do you have any warnings or?
Here's what I will say. That Luke guy that wanted to dress like a pirate, I did not look him up. I could tell it was different with this one. That's why I looked into it. I'm like, okay, seems a little different. And when I looked at his Instagram and his stand-up, and you're a stand-up comedian, it's just really cute. And I love it when a pot finds its lid. Like,
I mean, we'll see, because we are testing ourselves immediately. Like, we did a volleyball tournament yesterday, which people say you don't just, like, play competitive sports that you're not that good at with your significant other. Like, we installed a bed together already, and we haven't fought that much, but I'm just not afraid to say how I feel around him, and I've dated a lot of guys where I just bite my tongue. Uh-huh. And then wait like 7 months and then go, I hate everything about this and you, and I'm fucking done. And they're like, what? And no, I'm like, yeah, read my mind next time.
You wanted to watch the History Channel. And you're like, and that time 6 months ago, I'm still, what's her name? So here's the thing though. How long have you guys been dating? Like, how long?
Okay, so we've been dating for 3 months, but we've only spent 5 weeks physically together.
Well, that's the best. Because it's like Romeo and Juliet, like, oh, we can't, we like the beginning, we're just, like infatuated, but oh, so far, but so close. We yes. So then you guys reunited. It's like, yes, finally.
My thing is, if we're going to fail, let's fail fast. Let's
figure it out. You
I know? Feel like some people don't move in because they're like, oh, there might be issues. I want to see what those issues are ASAP. Because okay. If it's not going to work out, let's.
Here's my theory. You know, like, usually in dating, they're like, let's go to a nice restaurant, have a nice bottle of wine. Like, I can have fun with anyone over a gorgeous meal and a gorgeous bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
I do that by myself. Have a great mm-hmm. time. First dates should be the DMV.
I'm obsessed with that. It sounds like actually a new reality show that you need to host. It's called First Date at the DMV, and whoever survives gets married.
To love. License to Love.
Yes! Oh my God, Kate, write that
oh
down.
Oh my God, Andy, where are you?
Andy! Sorry, Andy!
Andy, go in.
Okay.
But here's why. Because if you can have fun at the DMV with someone, you know you can get through anything. And then you work your way up to the nice dinners.
Yes.
Or go grocery shopping or go to Target and get your toilet paper and shampoo. Because at the end of the day, once the infatuation wears off, you're going to end up needing, like, do we need double ply toilet paper? You want 2-in-1 shampoo? You need to know if you can have fun doing the mundane.
He let me smell every single candle at Home Goods, and it took like 9 minutes. And well, he didn't even understand like Home Goods, and I was like, I'm from Brooklyn, so I didn't really understand it that well, but I knew from Twitter that it's like a religion. And then I started to see the price points, and I was like, she's checking her pulse right now. He was like, I don't want to wait in that long line. I go, honey, the line is the best part.
It's the journey.
It's the journey.
When the line of Home Goods is the equivalent to the DMV. Same.
Where everything, I'm like, do we need that? Do we want that? Do we need that?
Home Goods? You guys are engaged. Florida terms, taking a man to Home Goods, you guys are engaged.
There are some guys who get annoyed real easy early on, and I was testing him a little, and he was like laughing, and I was being a little annoying, and he was like shrugging it off, and I was like, okay.
All right. So what do you think he's done that's tested you? Like, what's his version of Home Goods? He's like, so I did take her here.
He made me do a 6-hour volleyball tournament yesterday.
But you're like a tennis player.
No, I know, but like.
I know how comfortable you are with balls.
I'm very comfortable with balls, handling them in all shapes and forms. Couple activities are cute until you like go too far with them. I just learned how to play volleyball and I was pretty good. Signs me up for like an advanced volleyball tournament, and we played 8 matches from 9:30 a.m. and he knows I don't do the morning until 2:30. It was a test.
Was it on the beach?
Yes, on the beach.
Oh God.
He didn't get enough water for us. I was parched.
Volleyball?
I mean, 2-3 games would have been perfect for me, but he was having so much fun. Did we have a couple scuffles? Did I tell him? He was like telling me I had to move 2 inches. And I was like, I have bigger issues than moving 2 inches on this court.
On the sand court.
And we installed an IKEA bed together.
How'd that go? Well.
We were like saying that like, oh my God, we didn't fight. And at the very end, I was like, this shit was fucking easy. And then we realized we did something backwards.
How did you find out the bed was broken, Hannah? We probably installed it perfectly. And then we found out we didn't.
Then we were clearing the house. Because my parents are coming today.
Oh, have they been there yet?
No.
Oh, you had to go to Home Goods.
We had to. It was an emergency situation. But my mom's coming to help design. And he was like, can't you do it without your mom? And I go, why not have an expert? Why not bring an expert in?
It's called outsourcing, Dez.
It's called call a friend, Dez. But I want to know from you, because Dez is 44, and I'm obsessed with him. And age is almost like made it so much better. What's the oldest guy or person you've ever been with?
Oh, so in my hometown here, I've never talked about him on Below Deck, but way before that, it's been 10 years off and on. He's 19 years older.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he's 19 years old. I was like, sweetie.
No, I don't go younger, Hannah. I don't go younger.
19 years.
19 years older, but he looks, I mean, he has like a pretty big
penis.
Trust fund. The only thing bigger than his trust fund is his
wiener.
Yes. For George Clooney, rich trust fund.
Oh, yes. And I like the power that like you can fuck him, but you also could probably fuck his son if you wanted to.
Sure, if he had children.
Wait, he doesn't have children? That's amazing.
No, because I think when people inherit money, their brain stops developing at age 16 because it doesn't have to anymore. Like they're like, I don't have to worry about consequences anymore.
You don't have to like figure anything out.
Nothing.
What do you like about him besides his trust fund and his penis?
No, I don't.
We're over him.
Yeah, but it was just like pandemic, small town. You know, I'm a recycle.
Recycling's healthy.
It is. It's convenient. Convenience has a value, is what I will say.
But Kate, since I got you on here, I wanted to promote our new show. But we obviously ramble all over the fucking place. We're still in your introduction right now, by the way. This 20 minutes in.
This is not hell. Are you sure? This is not hell. Am I not in hell?
Also, you guys, Kate has like these gorgeous sunglasses on this whole time. Mm-hmm. It's just an iconic look. I said she's the Florida Rachel Zoe. So she did unapologetically Kate. It's a little wordy to say.
I agreed. I was like, you know what I love about unapologetically? You know what I love about that word?
It's impossible to say.
It's so unapologetically full of vowels.
Before 9 a.m., I'd just be like, nope. Welcome to Kate. And wait, what did you like doing radio?
Radio was actually, here, I had these grand visions. Like, after Below Deck, I was like, radio, that's right. I really was looking for it. I was like, I can wear sweatpants. Mm-hmm. I predicted the pandemic, basically. I was like, I can do it from my house, and I can wear pajamas, and I can have my dog with me. Well, then that's how it went down, because they just mailed me equipment.
You manifested it.
I know. It's a secret. I'm unapologetically manifestation. I don't know. It's all my syllables. And I just feel like it was so much more difficult than I expected. As with most new endeavors, you think, I got this. And then you get there, you're like, fake it till I make it. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think I have so much more respect for live. Holy moly. When they are counting down the seconds till you go live, and you're not a guest on the show, you're the driver. It is like you are going into space and you are driving the space shuttle. And you're like, what? To the moon by myself? Because then they're like, we're gonna count down from 30 seconds, but at 10 we're gonna stop talking to you,
and then they're like, it's up to you, don't fuck it up.
Yeah, they're like, have a great show. And 12 11 10, you're like, oh god. And then to like be like, hey, I'm super comfortable here alone in my kitchen.
Oh my gosh.
So I loved it.
So that show's not happening anymore, right?
Well, and also because of the pandemic, they had people outsourced, and I was Zooming with people. We were all learning together. Perhaps when I go back to the city, I think the door's open, but I don't know if I.
But it had its little run. It did its thing. And now we'll see in the future when.
I like podcasts better. Would you like to do live radio? I know someone. I know a slot.
Girl, I mean, I did live radio with Nikki Glaser, her show.
Powerhouse.
You two need to meet. You'd love each other. I wonder if she watches Below Deck. But anyway, yeah, she's very into reality TV. But she'd do 2 hours every morning after doing stand-up all night. And I was like, are you okay? And she's like, I'm not okay. So that's how we bonded.
Oh, good.
Because we're both not okay. But then...
I could be part of this club. Yeah,
you can.
Sure. Okay, you're right.
So then you get this Watch with Kate thing. With right. Below Med. So is that like traumatizing to you? Is it fun for you because you just sit back and make comments? or is it like reminding you of all the turmoil that you've experienced?
So all of the above, but I don't trust anybody that has like a super healthy background or childhood. I'm like, oh, no trauma? Like, I'm not sure we're gonna get along.
No.
So I feel like it's healthy. Just like, you know, trust fund people, they like their brains don't form. Mm-hmm. So I like challenges, and they offered me to do it for below deck sailing, which I was happy to do. Mm-hmm. And it was super fun because basically it's my favorite part of below deck without the manual labor.
Yeah, it's like you were always the voice of it, and now you're like officially like, what does Kate think?
Audience avatar, voice of reason, or voice of snark. I mean, you've made a career out of making wisecracks about other people, you know?
Yeah, that's why we get along.
I know.
There's something so in the word snark that I feel like could be good for a show. Anyway,
yeah,
so then you did Below Deck Med. That is a shit show.
Oh, man. Honestly, if I could never even hear that phrase again, it would be great.
Do you ever feel pressure to like take a certain side, or you just always give your truth?
I said I was unbiased, although people don't think that. I promise I was unbiased. People are like, you talk shit about Hannah, you talk shit about Kiko. I was like, no, I talk shit about all of them. I think they're all assholes and I think they're all morons. Okay. Like, I think they all.
I love you so much. Oh, I love you so much.
About that whole season. Mm-hmm. It's a sinking ship. Get in a life raft. Let's mm-hmm. get, I mean, no.
Do you think that it's compared to any seasons you've had? Is it like a whole different type of animal this last season of Below Deck Med?
I think that Below Deck in general has become a bigger animal. I think when I started, it was just the one original. I mean, it gets pretty good ratings to show, and it's a genius concept.
Oh, yeah.
It's a confined environment, so that already is a pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the charter guests coming in and out. It's also aspirational because it shows the charter guests.
Yes.
It's exotic locales, but it's also work.
Work.
So stressed out. I mean, it's like the perfect recipe for good TV.
You know who's so... Oh, wait, continue.
But what the problem is, we're also working on a yacht, which is like kind of dangerous. So...
High pressure. If someone makes a mistake, serious right. repercussions.
Oh, I mean, the fear of being fired is like a great motivator. So then they got a Mediterranean franchise and then a sailing franchise. And then the seasons, like there are only so many qualified.
They're going to have a kayaking franchise.
Oh my gosh. I have sent gifts. I'm like, is this the next one? It's just a canoe.
It's just me and you in a canoe. Drinking wine.
We got it like the surf style tourist blew it up with our whatever. But I just feel like, you know, the show's been going on for a while and they've got a lot of franchises, and I'm not sure if it happened yet, but it might happen soon. Like, you're gonna start scraping the bottom of the barrel of like qualified yachties that want to do the show. Like,
well, there's a lot of people, I think they might do it for a year and be like, I can do it.
Well, like every other Bravo show pretty much maintains a core cast.
Yeah.
Below Deck has a revolving door, which makes it great.
However, for you, who was a consistent person, like what, 6+ years, you have I don't know how you did it, because the new cast member is always the one that stresses everyone out the most. Like, you can watch Housewives because they're immediately trying to get the attention. They have no idea how anything works. They, like, some of them have an ego to them. Some of them are just like so high anxiety and you feel terrible for them the whole time. Like, it's really, because you remember when it was your first time, you have to deal with that with what, 6+ people every single season? How did you do that?
Not even that, but like, they also suck at the actual job. Like, oh my God. It doesn't matter. Like, I can't tolerate anybody for a long enough time.
And they don't show a lot of the work. So sometimes you will be like, this person sucks at their job, but we're like, they're folding towels. Like, how are they that bad?
I'm wearing sunglasses at 3:30 PM. Does it seem like, you know, if I'm not getting paid, if I'm not on a yacht, I'm not living a real strict life. But that was what, like, there was so much work that literally had to be done. And I was like, I feel like a lot of the episodes or a lot of the seasons should have been called, like, let's put a bunch of assholes on a boat with Kate and see how she reacts. season four.
But then there's also a positive that there's like fresh new assholes to smell each season where like I'm stuck with the same ones every season. At some point, you're like.
Every new season brings a new asshole to smell.
Wait, who do you think was like the hottest guy you've ever worked with on all your seasons?
I mean, that's hard. I've hooked up with so many. I never hooked up on camera. How was that for you?
Never sober, but actually kissing on camera sober is so weird.
Yeah.
Because like there's grown men and watching you, like, you kiss.
And it's kind of like your cousin is like right there.
Yeah. And it's not, it's like tongue kissing. And I always pull away early. Like I can't get to it too
deep. But you have banged on camera too, huh?
I've banged in a bathroom where I put the faucet on, I put the shower on, and they still somehow heard my breathing. And then they heard Luke go down on me where I was moaning, screaming, yelling. I just went off. It was great.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So it's not total pirate.
But we put a t-shirt over the camera, so we kind of felt like, well, they can't see us. So then I just kind of had fun.
Hannah, that is the rookie mistake. The moment you put something over the camera is the moment the control room's like,
yep,
they're doing something that we don't want to see.
Yeah. Actually, Courtney Skipan, is that how you pronounce her name?
Yes.
So she, I watched her on your season. Mm-hmm. She's so funny and sweet on Instagram with me. Like, I don't even know her. And she would like my stuff or she'd like comment on our stuff.
That, when she posted a story for our new show, Bravo's chat room last night, she said,
the sweetest.
She said, I love you, Kate Chastain. But then she also said, hi, Hannah.
We like funny DM.
What is this? I mean, I'm not jealous, but kind of.
She's almost like emerging as a mini Kate because she tweeted something funny about Summer House, basically how she like fucking hates us.
See, I would have tweeted that so many years ago, but I was trying to be polite.
Yeah, no, she basically, yeah, was like, wait, I did this all wrong. Summer House just gets hammered and doesn't have to do any work.
I played myself. Summer House, where it's at, they do no work. All they do is hang on.
Okay, they make us like clean up our parties, and we all are like, what? And we're all like, ah. Or like in the morning, we have to like do the dishes, and we're like, this is prison. This is prison with a pool.
I don't feel bad for you, but I know what you feel like.
Well, because we're like, housewives don't have to like fucking clean up their fucking crazy parties. Where them, they're like, you're in a summer house, you have to clean up. And we're like, we normally hire people. And they're like, nope, clean up.
That's what I said my first season, because.
Clean up a huge party of 100 people? I'm fine cleaning up my room.
I might have it in a day. And if I'm making good money, I'm going to be like, hey, I'm going to go to the pool. I'm going to pay somebody else.
Exactly. You
know, outsource.
Right? Outsourcing is just smart. It's not worth my time, especially because I'm terrible at cleaning.
My first season, I paid some locals. We were in Tortola with a bunch of cash. I didn't understand how reality TV worked. I was like, I'm just gonna do my thing. I guess you're gonna report it. But I know there were like rules, like, no, you can't just walk off the boat. Like, I disappeared the first day for like 2 miles. They're like, so first rule, everyone, welcome to filming, you can't just leave, okay? And they had been waiting for 3 hours. Like, does anyone know where the Chief Stew is? And I was like marching down the island. I just was used to freedom.
Well, now you do have a new form of freedom.
Yeah.
You are locked in your Florida rental. However, we have a new show, Bravo's Chat Room. And you not only are one of the stars of the show, but you're a producer on it. And we're very involved in it being created.
I was just as surprised as you were when it said executive producer, but I'm so thrilled because that sounds extra fancy.
She's like, now that it came out and we love it, I would love to be an executive producer.
Actually, it's so true. Yesterday, we were like, are you so excited for the premiere? I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, I don't know. Not my show, not my problem. But it's so cute. I love how it turned out. Yeah, so basically, I've always loved Bravo.
What was your favorite Bravo shows?
Well, Rachel Zoe was my favorite. I'm much older than you. You were probably playing tennis when you were like 6. Rachel Zoe and Brad Goreski. And it was like the days when Bravo was first like getting its legs. Mm-hmm. I think Queer Eye had just come out, and then it was like very artistic. It was like Jonathan Anton, Blowout, Hairstylist, and
yes.
Queer Eye. It was just very much creative. I loved the glitz and the glamour. It's a very aspirational network. So then when I heard Below Deck was gonna be on Bravo, I was like, I don't even care what show it is, put me on.
Yeah.
And I've always loved also Fashion Police on E. And I feel like E and Bravo are, you know,
sisters.
Sister planets, yeah. And I was sad when Fashion Police went away because basically it was just a bunch of funny people sitting around being like, did you see what she wore?
Well, nowadays you can't call people ugly, I guess.
But you would say I would not have gone with the red sequin jumpsuit.
Basically, Fashion Police, like, isn't a thing anymore. It's like, I feel like, I guess people are too sensitive that you can't be, like, hot or not. Like, you can't say that people aren't hot.
Here's what I think, the difference between being judgmental and a sociologist, I don't ever like to comment on something that somebody was born with, mm-hmm. only their choices.
Yes.
An outfit is a choice. Mm-hmm. So, you made that choice, so I'm going to cop, like, because you can change it to, you know?
Yeah, our brains are always evolving, right. And your brain needs to evolve.
Or not. Or maybe not, but, like, anything that they were born with, I'm not going to be like, God, can you believe she has brown eyes? Like, you know? Like, just anything they choose, behavior is, I think, open to conversation. Anyways, so, I just felt like Bravo needed a show like that about 2 years ago. And I wanted it to be have like the most dynamic, iconic, cool celeb Bravo people, but they all live in different areas of the world, like mm-hmm. LA, Atlanta, Potomac, New York, Florida, Texas, all over the place. And a producer said 2 years ago, she was psychic. She was like, what if we had them like call in like CNN correspondents in like small windows? And I was like, that's so clever.
She's like, what if we purposely created a disease that no one could leave their house?
So then we're fine now. And the rest is history.
Well, it's amazing because we did some chemistry tests and like I was just honored to be asked, but like I knew me and you like hit it off always. And then I was always texting you and I was like, do you think they're gonna like me? Or do you think this show is gonna get greenlit? And you were just like, girl, like I feel good. Obviously I don't wanna get your hopes up and whatever, but you're like, I feel good about it.
No, I'm pretty sure I told you from the beginning, I was like, girl, you're definitely top pick, number one draft.
I couldn't like fully believe you though, cause I'm like you, like I'm a Bravo fan. 2 years ago, I got on Bravo. I literally fell off and just suddenly I'm on a Bravo talk show. Like, it's really crazy. But you're right that you were telling me this is my passion. Like, comedy and talking and podcasts, that's my passion. So the fact that you've given me that kind of outlet makes me so happy because I'm used to doing reality TV and then getting my entire personal life torn apart. So to just go on and make people laugh and get edited nicely was like the best.
Me and you both were like, I'm like, you mean I don't have to wear a blue polo shirt or like live on a boat for 6 weeks?
Great. You're like, I could look gorgeous. No, like, Kate, to be edited like that, like they literally cut down like everything that wasn't perfect
on us.
Yes.
And I was like, I look great. And they were like, I didn't appreciate how support, they're like, you really look great. Halfway through, I was like, they put a filter on me.
Actually, my mom told me that. I'm like, I have a very false sense of confidence in myself. I have reverse body dysmorphia and I was like, I'm gorgeous and I forgot how gorgeous I am.
Honestly, I think I said 5 times. Like, I didn't use a lot of self-tanner, guys.
I went live right after and looked at my face and I was like, who is this bitch on Instagram Live? Because that's not the one who was on TV just now.
You should edit all of this out. We really are that gorgeous. We really are that charming.
We are that charming. So I'm just so excited about it. I want to wrap this up, but with a final game.
Okay.
And it's called Heaven or Hell.
Heaven or Hell.
So I'm going to give you options. Tell me which one's heaven, which one's hell.
Okay.
Living with your mom during the pandemic or working on a yacht.
Living with my mom during a pandemic is heaven. Working on a yacht is hell.
Okay. Dating an ugly guy with a great personality or dating a hot girl with an annoying personality?
Ew, ugly guy, good personality.
Is heaven.
I'm the hot girl. No.
You like being the hot one.
Yeah, that's why I like the lesbian sharks, yeah.
I already know the answer to that one. Okay, being a chef or being second stew?
Ooh, good one. Hell, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. The chef is hell.
Because?
Dude, you've got no worries, no responsibilities, but you'll experience heaven.
True, and then you're just like, oh, I didn't know.
Not my problem. I'm not the boss. I'm just like...
okay, choking during sex or romantic slow sex?
You know what I always say? Heaven for the climate, hell for the company.
know what that means.
Heaven for the climate, it's nice there, but all the fun people are in hell.
You're right. You're right. We know what she we know
that
what
should
she
be your now. New podcast slogan, heaven for the climate, hell for the company.
I'm obsessed with that. Also, with your shades on saying that, you just seem like a CEO.
I look like Satan.
You look like Satan as a CEO with a jewel. FaceTiming or phone call?
I mean, FaceTime's obviously worse.
But your facial expressions are the fucking best, or your lack of.
Exactly. But I've gotten more into FaceTime since the pandemic. So I don't know. TBD, I'm in purgatory. I am in FaceTime purgatory. It's called a pandemic.
Wine or vodka?
Oh, wine is heaven. Vodka is hellish. Oh, look at your cat.
I get my cats in the background. That's Butter. She's needs attention all the time, like her mom.
She's like, Mom, it's been over an hour.
I know. Last one. Oh, this is easy. Salad or a burger?
Hell is a salad.
And that's why I fucking love you. Finally, we shot Bravo's chat room. And the first episode has aired. By the time this comes out, the second episode has aired. What are your, like, biggest anxieties about it? What's your, like, favorite parts about it? How do you feel about the rest of the cast? Give me your final thoughts.
So as far as Bravo's chat room goes, I don't know about you, but I am pleasantly surprised. I really feel like we all get along like we're friends. I actually, when we stopped filming the other day, I was like, okay, bye guys. I miss you.
Yeah, like, you were like so nice. I was like worried about you. I'm like, are you okay?
I have been in isolation for a long time. That's true. But we did a lot of chemistry tests and we've met a lot of people. And like even Zooming with your family members, you're like, okay, put the phone down, Blair Witch. But this was like enjoyable and easy.
Yes.
And I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, first of all, I love the aesthetic. It was a whole different, like, I love saying different animals, this podcast. I've never said that in my life, but it's a different animal compared to Watch Opens Live. Like, the aesthetic is so different. It's so modern. It's clean. Because I'm very into, like, making sure that it feels like our vibe. And we were afraid, like, the music or the graphics could have been just so off and it would have just ruined it. Like, there were so many little details that need to be good. And I'm telling you, I was expecting to just be like, we tried our best, but there's so many little things.
I was ready to blame the pandemic.
Yeah, there's so many little things that had to be right for it to be good.
They nailed it.
I am so into this show. You guys, if you haven't watched Bravo's Chat Room, it's on at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, right after Watch Rooms Live. Also, lastly, I got a DM from Andy Cohen. Andy Cohen followed me on Twitter for the first time yesterday. I just wanted to tell Kate, I'm just going to tell you what he said to me. And he DM'd me and he said, wait, I'm going to find it. It was pretty amazing. He said, congrats on your first show. I dig it. XOXOXO. I nearly died. So Andy, we will do anything for you. We will give you all our love. We are Andy's angels. I feel like Charlie's angels. Andy chose us and we just
need. I love that he said Andy's angels. I love that so much.
We just need to bring him joy by talking all kinds of shit, not holding back. And my only anxiety is, I hope it gets picked up.
Well, here's the advice he told me. We were talking about it at one point. And he said, you know, this isn't a tea party. And I was like, you know, so we're going to disagree with each other.
I'm excited for that because one thing we have to remember is we're all reality TV stars too. And the reason we are reality people is because we are unfiltered and we will say our truth.
Oh, God. This is how every beginning of the season starts. You're like, I love this crew. I love them so much. End of season, you're like, I hate that one. I hate that one. They're blocking each other. So, you know, early days, cross that we still have the good vibes after our sixth episode.
But also, I think we can have, like, mature disagreements. And because it's virtual, like, no one can pull each other's hair out.
If I flip a table, I'm only punishing myself.
You have to clean it up. There's no producers around.
Or nice PA.
Well, Kate, you're the fucking best. I love you so much. And I feel so fortunate to even like be on a screen with you. Anything else that you want to promote or where can people follow you?
You can follow me at Twitter and Instagram at Kate_Chastain. And that's it for now, y'all.
Hell yeah. Guys, give us your feedback on the talk show, and we're going to keep bringing it.
Bravo's chat room.
I just say the talk show.
It's right.
Yep. It's new. I'm getting used to it, but hopefully it becomes a staple. Or maybe I just jinxed it. But thanks. Regardless, you're so funny, so smart as always.
Enjoy your Home Goods candles with your big, you know, parents at the boyfriend's house.
My parents actually just got here. That's why I have to leave. Otherwise, I was gonna bother you longer. But anyway, Kate, you're the best.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, bitch.
Bye.
Bye.